speaker is our brother Tim Krupa from Portland, Oregon. And he has chosen a subject in harmony with the hymn that we have just sung. It is the psychology of sheep. The psychology of sheep, Brother Tim.
Good morning, dear friends. It's very nice to be with you. I am carrying perhaps the largest load of love that I've ever had the privilege of carrying. You would expect that I would bring you a very large bundle of greetings from my home class back in Portland and the brethren in that vicinity extending as far north as Seattle and all the brethren at the retirement center, and they do send you their love and greetings. But also in the last 3 weeks, Dawn, myself, and my parents have had the privilege of spending that time with our brethren in Europe. We spent most of the time in Poland, a little bit of time in Germany, attended a convention in Metz, France, and then completed that with a visit with the brethren in Belgium. So the brethren in Poland send you their warm Christian love and greetings. They were quite excited about the fact that we would return home through Chicago. Because, you know, the largest Polish city in the world is Chicago. There are more Poles living in Chicago than any city in Poland. So this seems to be well known in Poland. And they also know, of course, of the Bible students here. So if you know names like Szczytinski and Poplawski and Kaminski and Parfianowicz and Piaczonka and Pervin and Kołacz and Kreitzer and Krutz and Jakubowski and on and on. If you know those kinds of names, they send you their greetings, their warm Christian love and greetings. I could go on and on. It would really take an hour. The Grudzins, the Dombek, Mistasz, Pietrzyk. There's one name, doesn't sound too Polish, Groves, Lisa Groves. But I understand she is Polish. There's the Kaletas, the Zubalas, and on it goes. We also visited the Rootmans in Germany, and then on to France. So again, if you know some of those French names like Polarski and Moynick and Liberda and Vlodarski and Skarbek and Dembski, they send you their warm Christian love and greetings. There are a few French amongst the French brethren, names like Poe and Caillot, Goluc, and Boulier, they also send you their love. Now in Poland, we learned rather quickly that it's three kisses. Kiss on one side, then the other, and then the third side. And then when you get to France, it's four. One, two, three, four. And I was going to ask you, what is it in Chicago? I'm not sure. So if we come up to you and say Yak Shemash or Bonjour or something like that, you'll realize that we're still suffering a little bit from jet lag. The psychology of sheep. I know my cows, and my cows know me. I am the good cowboy. That didn't sound right, did it? That didn't sound right at all. As a matter of fact, that was almost offensive. How about this? I know my camels, and my camels know me. I am the good camel driver. Not very good. How about this one? I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I am the good shepherd. Now that's better, isn't it? And it's better not just because we're more familiar with it, but it's better because we are acquainted somewhat with the characteristics and the behavior of sheep. Sheep are distinct. They're not like goats. They're not like cows. They're not like dogs. They have traits, characteristics, behaviors, and feelings that make them an excellent illustration of the collective Christian mind. So our lesson today is about sheep. And I think it can give us incredible insights into our behaviors, our actions, both individually and as a group. Well, why do we say the psychology of sheep? Well, very simply, psychology is the study of how the mind works. And it is in the arena of the mind that the Christian lives. It's where he decides, he fellowships, he communicates. We have mortal physical bodies, but our life and death as a Christian is in the mind. So it is in this aspect that sheep have lesson for us. We don't care about their physical attributes. We don't care about their weight and their height, the amount of production of wool. We're interested in the mind, in the behavior. We're interested in the feelings of sheep. And so really what we are interested in is the psychology of sheep. Now suppose a man has 100 sheep, and one of them strays away. Won't he leave the 99 and go search for the one that is lost? And if he finds the one that is lost, I tell you, he has more joy over the one he has found than over the 99. You see, sheep are very special. Even one sheep is very worthwhile. And in the same way, the Heavenly Father cares for His children. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, preaching the news of the kingdom, healing the sick, curing every kind of ailment and disease. The scriptures tell us the sight of the people moved Him to pity. He said they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus sent out the 12 with the following instructions: do not take the road to the Gentile lands, and do not enter into any Samaritan village, but go instead to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was Matthew 10:5. And then John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In verse 14 of still John 10. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Judging by the frequency of use, Jesus liked sheep. I recently read an article by a university professor who had spent most of his career studying and raising sheep. And as I read the article, I was struck by the number of spiritual lessons from what this man had learned about raising sheep. I extracted from this article a list of 10 sheep characteristics. I'd like to read the list to you first, and then we'll go back and discuss each one. Number one, you cannot make sheep do something that is contrary to their will. Number two, sheep are not sheepish. Three, perhaps sheep's most manifest instinct is to flock. Four, connected with the flocking tendency is sheep's propensity to follow other sheep. Five, sheep are instinctively fearful. Six, the flock seek light and high ground. Seven, aggressiveness is an important facet of sheep behavior. The combativeness of rams is notorious. 8. Sheep are very conservative, content with the familiar, and resistant to change. 9. The sheep welcome the presence of the shepherd, especially during the birthing process. And 10. Sheep are not very intelligent, especially in the human sense, but they are quick learners and have good memories. Now let's go back and look at number 1. You cannot make sheep do something contrary to their nature. Now, in a Christian sense, there can be a positive side to this, or there can be a negative side. It depends on the decision the sheep makes as to what is truly their nature. If the sheep decides that their nature is the fallen, carnal nature, then they have no chance of improvement. In Galatians 5:7, it tells us, the flesh lusteth against the spirit. And Romans 7:23, from the New English, the apostle says, I discovered this principle, that when I want to do the right, only the wrong is within my reach. In my inmost self, I delight in the law of God. But I perceive that there is in my bodily members a different law, fighting against the law that my reason approves. So we have two natures within us. But the commandment is to the spiritual life. If the sheep choose the spiritual nature, the spiritual life, if they walk in the spirit, if they mortify the deeds of the flesh, then it will be very difficult for them to change their nature and go back to the old way. So if we keep ourselves in the love of God, then we'll stay in the new nature by His power. It's one of the characteristics of sheep. So this unchangeableness of the sheep's nature can work to our advantage if we put spiritual things first. Number 2. Sheep are not sheepish. Now, sheepish in English means to be embarrassed or bashful, as having done something wrong or foolish. The professor said that sheep don't even act sheepish. He said he had a dog that very frequently acted sheepish. He said if the dog did something wrong and he caught him, the dog would look away kind of guilty-like and turn his head. That's what we call being sheepish. But sheep are not sheepish. We, as Christians, are not sheepish either. We're not ashamed of being Christians. We're not bashful, as if we've done something wrong. Now, if we lived in our own strength, we might well be ashamed and bashful. But that's where our strength and justification comes from. It's through our justification that we have this strength. Romans 8:34, we know that Christ makes intercession for us. And also in Romans 4:8, we know that our sins are no longer imputed to us. Romans 5:9 tells us we're justified, we're made righteous by His blood. We're not bashful either. 1 Peter 3:15, it says that we're ready at any time to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And we're not ashamed of Jesus' name. Romans 1:16. 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we are workmen who need not to be ashamed. So again, we're just like the natural sheep. We're not sheepish, we're not bashful, we're not shy about our Christianity. Number 3, perhaps the sheep's most manifest instinct is to flock. And except for a few breeds, such as those that live in the highest mountaintops, sheep like to be together. Most animals, if you leave them free to roam, they will scatter. But if you leave sheep free, they'll come together. And they'll stay together. They're gregarious. And this is very helpful because they lack the natural defenses that many animals have. They don't have the personal protection of a porcupine. They don't have sharp hooves. They don't have claws. So the protection of the flock comes from their staying together, close together. To flock means to be in company together, to be a group. It means togetherness. Comrades, brethren, associates. Flock means to stick together, to rub, to be in touch, to be close. With the Christian, it means to assemble, to congregate, to gather, to convention. There are many scriptures that speak of this togetherness, this flocking. Ephesians 4:4 speaks of the one body, the one spirit, the one Lord, the one faith. And we might add, the one flock. Colossians 2:2, that your hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love. 1 Peter 3:8, be all of one mind. This most manifest instinct of sheep is to flock. But you know, sometimes Bible student sheep act like they don't like to flock. The flocking of the Bible students is its defense. Break the Bible student flock into smaller and smaller flocks, and more easily can the predators come in and destroy the flock. Number four, the propensity of sheep is to follow other sheep. This can be a problem. It's safest only to follow the shepherd. Not only because, as it says in Acts 20, verse 29, that grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Not only that, but there is another class who may even look like sheep. And if we follow this animal who looks like a sheep, mentioned in Matthew 7:15, it says they are false prophets, which Jesus said will come among you dressed how? In sheep's clothing. But Jesus said inwardly, they are as ravening wolves. I think it would be naive to think that the words of our Lord, as quoted there, only applied in his day, or only applied after his death, or only applied in the Middle Ages, or only applied after Brother Russell's death. Our only safe course is to be focused on the shepherd. We need help from other sheep. We can learn from other sheep. We need the protection of other sheep. But the last word must be that of the good shepherd. Number five. Sheep are instinctively fearful. They are afraid of the unknown, they are afraid of darkness, and they are afraid of new pastures. Now, in a lot of respects, that's good. It keeps them appreciative of what they've learned, what's been given to them, keeps them appreciative of the shepherd. In Luke 12:32, it speaks directly of this fearfulness and the flock. Fear not, my little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. 2 Kings 6:16, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Matthew 10:31, fear not, for you are of more value than many sparrows. And the spiritual flock then, although fearful by nature, need not fear while they stay in the Lord. Number 6, flocks seek light and high ground. Actually, it's easier for an animal with hooves to walk uphill. The flocks seek light and high ground. And also, the high places provide the flock a viewpoint from which they can see approaching danger. Now, spiritually, this needs virtually no explanation. It's self-explanatory. John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And we all know that the light represents the truth. 1 John 1:7, "If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." And this high ground that we seek, this is virtually the high calling. This is the high ground, as in glory to God in the highest. Yes, in a very beautiful sense, the flocks seek light and high ground. Now, number 7 was a surprise to me. Aggressiveness is an important facet of sheep behavior. The combativeness of rams is notorious. Surprised? I was very surprised. I thought the sheep illustration showed those aspects of the Christian that were passive. I thought sheep were always passive. Sheep lying down in green pastures beside the still waters. But that's not what the professor said. He said that's only half the picture. He said, "Everyone who raises sheep will tell you, never turn your back on a ram." Anybody who has raised sheep will tell you, never turn your back on a ram. Across the country, chiropractic offices are filled with people who have turned their backs on rams. They love to butt heads. Why do they do it? And incidentally, the professor added, it's not just the males who like to butt heads. He said the females also seem to enjoy butting heads. They do it to get food. They do it to get out of a gate if it's a narrow passage. They do it to settle their differences. And he said sometimes, apparently, they do it just to get attention. So, just because sheep are quiet when they're being sheared, and just because our Lord perfectly sacrificed His life quietly as a lamb being led to the slaughter, the reality of sheep, both male and female, is that they are aggressive. Now, I think that this aspect of sheep behavior gives the whole thing a credibility. It gives us an honesty, and it gives us a deep insight, because we know that this is a reality. It's part of the sheep behavior that we inherit, but it's not part that can be taken into the new nature. The aggressiveness we have must be channeled so that we work on ourselves. The aggressiveness that we have must be channeled into zeal for the Lord's work, not butting heads with each other. But what's nice about this part of the lesson is that we don't need to be surprised, we don't need to be discouraged or upset when we see the manifestations of this aggressiveness. It's also a little bit like divisions. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, the apostle urges us that we have no divisions, yet we have them. And in the 11th chapter of this same book, 1 Corinthians, he explains why. In verse 19, he says, this is 1 Corinthians 11:19, For there must also be factions, or we would say divisions, amongst you. Why? Here's his answer. That they which are approved may be made manifest. Now, would the apostle approve of the butting of heads? No. But yet we still have the butting of heads amongst us. Why? Same reason. That they which are approved may be made manifest. Because you see, amidst all the butting of heads, amidst all the aggressiveness, there will be some who will show, by improving themselves, by apologizing, by forgiving, and by butting less, there will be some who will show that they are learning to suppress the old nature. This characteristic of sheep cannot be used as an excuse, even though we do inherit it from the old nature. Jesus said in Matthew 18:7, and I think he gave us an incredibly powerful principle. Matthew 18:7, and again, he admits that there will be trouble. He says, it must be that these offenses come. It must be. He's saying it's necessary. But then he says, and this is the principle, woe to the man by whom they come. Let's put that into sheep talk. It must be that there will be butting of heads, aggressiveness, but woe to the man by whom the butting comes. Characteristic number 8. Sheep are conservative. They are content with the familiar and resistant to change. Now again, much like number 1, this has advantages and disadvantages. It's good to hold fast to the profession of our faith. That's what it says in Hebrews 10:23. It's good to hold fast to our confidence. That's what it says in Hebrews 3:6. And it's good to hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And we would add, it's good to hold fast to our doctrines. But at the same time, change is required. Much change. Growth. Fruitage. That's what it tells us in John 15. But it's not a dilemma. If we keep in mind the old nature and the new nature, and if the new nature is focused on the shepherd, we know we must change our characters. We must change our understanding. We must grow. Even studying would be useless if we weren't going to learn something. In our characters, in our minds, we must change. Number 9 has to do with the sheep welcoming the presence of the shepherd. The clearest time that this takes place, and when the sheep most clearly lose their fear of the human, and the shepherd especially, is when the female sheep is giving birth. You know, we're going through that process now. We're embryo new creatures. We're trying to develop. But you know, sometimes human sheep act like they don't need the shepherd. But you know what changes their mind? The one thing that changes the mind really quick that you need the shepherd is pain. Any kind of pain. With the female sheep, it's the pain of giving birth. But with us, it's some experience, some discouragement, some hurt brings us right back to the shepherd. It reminds us how transient the nature of this world is. Reminds us how transient the nature of money is, or our health. Pain brings us back to the shepherd where we belong. Number 10 has to do with learning. Here's what the professor said. Sheep are not very intelligent. But he said they are quick learners and they have good memories. And he told this story. One day, his flock was released from the barn and they were running down a path on the way to a feeding station that he had set up. And they came to an icy patch. It's a winter morning. And as they ran, they slid on the ice and the entire flock fell and tumbled all over, each over the other. Well, the next day, again, as he let them out of their little barn, they excitedly ran down the path, and just as they came to the section of ice, they stopped and they walked very carefully and slowly across the ice. They did this for many days thereafter. As a matter of fact, they continued to do it long after the ice was gone. So you see, sheep can learn quickly, they have good memories, but they're really not very intelligent. You know, that's a lot like us. We weren't called for our brains. And sometimes the human sheep get the idea that they were. And they forget the admonition that there aren't very many wise sheep and noble sheep. And sometimes we start to think that it was our own brain power that figured out the elements of God's plan. And we forget what a gift has been given to us. Again, sheep are quick learners with good memories, and that's how we should be with our lessons. My dear brethren, the lesson of the sheep is a very simple lesson. But don't be fooled by its simplicity. It carries in it the lesson of life and death. It was simple lessons like this from sheep that our Lord used to explain that it was just a few who would be ushered into the heavenly realms. Not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," will be ushered in. But it's lessons like this, not heavy, not intellectual, not difficult to understand, but they're like the principles of honesty and truth and righteousness and love. Simple, but they are life and death. The group that understands these simple lessons will be the wise virgins. The group that understands will be the church, not the great company. And the group that understands will be the overcomers, and the others will fall by the wayside. So we've looked briefly at the psychology of sheep. I like the fact that sheep seek high ground and light. I guess my favorite aspect of the sheep is that their natural tendency, their most manifest instinct, is to flock. And you know, sheep must have a very special place in God's heart too. Because you remember that his son was called the Lamb of God. So, I learned a lot of things from these simple, humble, four-legged critters. I learned that there are some things in my nature that must be suppressed. I learned that there are some things I must not be surprised at. What a privilege we have. What an opportunity of achieving a position in that most special group. It will be worth the effort. It will be worth the struggle. It will be worth the resistance to the things of this world. It'll be worth the study. It'll be worth the transformation to be part of that little flock. I hope that in some small way this has encouraged you to keep in mind our Lord's lesson of the sheep.
Thank you, Brother Tim, for that lesson on the sheep. I'm sure that we all learned things about sheep that we never knew before, and I think it helped us to appreciate the wisdom of our Lord and our Father in using the sheep as characteristics of those that He wants to associate with Him. We appreciate the lessons, Brother Tim. Thank you. Brother Tim will close this meeting and ask a blessing on our noonday meal together.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your many blessings on our behalf. We thank You especially for the gift of Your Son and for the hope of our calling. Thank You for this privilege of gathering together in convention. Thank You for the assurance that Your Holy Spirit will be with us. We pray that from our fellowship and the things we hear these days, we might be energized to serve You better, we might understand our responsibilities better, and thereby might more vigorously fulfill our vows of consecration. This time we ask Your blessing upon the food. May it strengthen us that we might be strong, that again we might learn the lessons that You have for us. Bless our conversation and our fellowship. We are always mindful of our brethren who are not as fortunate as we are. We always pray that Your kingdom would soon come. We thank You for our blessings. We pray for Your continuing presence with us. In the Master's name, amen.